Well, good afternoon. Well, my name is Sarah LeBlanc, and this is my sweet family, my husband, John Michael, and Karis, and Renee. And I just love this sweet little family. My husband currently is probably at a consignment sale, chasing around these little girls and trying to find 4T clothing. So I have a very incredible, awesome husband that believes in me and this ministry, and he's also a licensed clinical counselor. Crazy awesome testimony. But this is my sweet family. I also serve as the director of field ministry for Stonecroft. How many of you have heard of Stonecroft Ministries? Doris, very good. I will introduce you to her in a second. Well, Stonecroft is a women's evangelism ministry. It's a national ministry. We're headquartered in Kansas City, Missouri, and I live in Louisville, Kentucky. We have around 20,000 volunteers around the nation that are involved in evangelism. And we also have probably around 90,000 women that have been equipped and trained through Stonecroft. And so our primary focus is equipping and mobilizing women as evangelists of the gospel across the country. So if this wasn't the session you were planning to go to, I will not be offended if there's another one that you need to go to. But I'm so thrilled that each of y'all are here, and I'd like to introduce you to Doris Thompson. She is our VP of Transformation, and she's also my work mama. This is an incredible woman, and so make sure you get a chance to talk to her. She's great. She is a gift. So this is my sweet family, and this is the non-Pinterest version of my family. And as you can see, we've got strawberry mouths and screaming children and my daughter drinking coffee and just the whole thing. Well, it's important for you to see this because this impacts who I am as an evangelist. And this is my everyday life. I am a busy mama to Karis and Renee and married to John Michael. Well, as we go through this presentation, what I'm hoping to share with you is just glimpses of an unveiling and learning process that God has brought me through and our organization through as we are looking at how to equip and mobilize women as evangelists of the gospel. For me, I was involved in ministry, I've been involved in ministry for about 15 years, but up until about 3 years ago, the majority of ministry that I did was through a nonprofit, in a church, and characteristically, the majority of evangelism came to me. I didn't have to go to it. And so as an individual, I would have never told you, I'm an evangelist. So when I meet really bold people at this conference that say, I'm an evangelist, I'm like, that's amazing, because I would have never had the confidence to say that. And if I did a spiritual gifts assessment, it would have been at the very bottom of that assessment. Well, as I have grown and gotten engaged with Stonecroft, God has begun to do an unveiling in my life that I want to bring you into because I feel it is very relevant to women culturally today as evangelists. And it also reflects a lot of the research that we have done as we've been researching women and how to equip and mobilize them. This unveiling started about 3 years ago. I was attending a conference where author John S. Dickerson, who wrote the book The Great Evangelical Recession, was speaking. And I was captured by this imagery. Yes, it is How to Train Your Dragon. Did I tell you that I have a 2- and a 4-year-old? Okay. Great movie. But that's not the point. I was in this conference and he was talking about the concept of the long tail of evangelism. And it's a business concept, but essentially the concept is this, that the head and mass of the dragon's weight of the dragon's head is the same as the mass and weight of the dragon's tail. And in 20th century evangelism, the majority of evangelism that happened was through heavy hitters that were gifted, anointed evangelists like Billy Graham and Louis Palau and many of you. A great deal of success and response to the gospel that was happening in the 20th century to heavy hitters. Well, what we have seen, and I know that each of you have probably seen this in your ministry, is that in this 21st century, there is much more resistance to Christianity and to the gospel. Christianity is no longer streamlined, and it's much more unlikely that someone has even stepped through the doors of a church. I think the statistic is that 50% of millennials have never even been into the doors of the church. And so inviting them to come into the doors of the church is unlikely that you're going to have a great response to it, because they have a lot of stress, of ideas, of concepts about Christians that they have built up because of their view that they've discovered in social media and such. Well, this image, what he talks about is that in this long tail of evangelism, this represents 22 million Christians around the country that are just everyday believers. And if these 22 million Christians were equipped and believed that I am a witness of the gospel, that they would have a greater impact on the kingdom of God in reaching people for Christ in this century than even in the head. Do we need both? Yes, 100%. That is the beauty of this conference. But there is a strong need to equip and mobilize the 22 million Christians in the long tail of evangelism. And I generally work in circles with women. And if we even divide it in half, 11 million women in this country that need to be equipped as evangelists of the gospel. These women are influencers in their PTA. They're influencers in their community, in their play groups, in their fitness groups. They are influencers no matter what social box they may fit in. They are influencers, and they have groups of women that they all are involved in and influence. And so what John Dickerson said is, it's really thinking about it like in the early church. It says in Acts 8:4, those who have been scattered preached the work wherever they went. Note that this was not just the apostles, it was all of them. This is how the church exploded exponentially, because the long tail was directly and personally proclaiming. They were not silently modeling or occasionally inviting. Individuals in the long tail preached the word wherever they went. He also said, even now, in the United States church, we have untapped wells of riches. We have unmined deposits of energy and productivity. We have the potential of 22 million evangelists, each uniquely prepared to invade a niche market that no single evangelist could ever enter. This is the power of the long tail. Well, if you're anything like me, and you're sitting in a conference and you're hearing this, you're like, wow, that's really awesome, but I don't even feel equipped myself. So how in the world am I going to equip 22 million people to be evangelists of the gospel? Well, it does feel impossible, but what I have been discovering, and as a ministry, I'll unpack some of this for you, but what we've been discovering as a ministry is that if we can just begin to equip women one by one by one, we will have a greater impact on the kingdom of God, because there is masses of people in our Christian churches that just don't know what to do. And they simply need us to come alongside them and equip them. And so we've had a lot of research. Our CEO has done a great deal of research in how believers become mobilized, from the point when they meet Christ until when they're mobilized. We've done a lot of research with other organizations, interviewed our women. And as a ministry, there has been three key needs for mobilization that we have uncovered. And these three key needs are this: they need to be inspired, they need to be equipped, and they need to be encircled. And so I would love to just take you on a little journey so you can understand from my personal story what some of this looked like, but also how this looks organizationally, because the majority of you serve as leaders in organizations, and so you have influence over great deals of individual Christians that just don't yet have inspired, equipped, encircled, or pieces of it. And so let's jump in. So the first area is inspired. Can I have two people look up these two passages? 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 23. Someone claim it? Yes, thank you. 2 Corinthians 5, 14 through 15. Your phone is fine. Yes, thank you. Awesome. Well, If I take you back 3.5 years to this conference, I had already said yes to the calling of Stonecroft, a women's evangelism ministry. I had worked in addiction recovery. I had worked with women that didn't know Christ, but very rarely did I ever have to go to women. They came to me. And so I'm in this place, and I'm thinking to myself, I really don't even have friends that aren't Christians, and I'm supposed to recruit women across the country to be evangelists. Like, wrong person, Jesus, you called the wrong person. Well, what I did, because I was like, I'm inspired, I need to do something about this because I work in this evangelism ministry. And so I started joining all of these Facebook groups as a mom, these mom Facebook groups. And in Louisville, there was one group where new women that would move to Louisville would just say, hey, I just moved, can we do a play date? Well, if you missed that I have a 2- and a 4-year-old, play dates are a big part of my life. And I was like, yeah, I'll meet up with you. Let's do a play date. So I went on a play date with two moms, and it was super awkward because I was very not gifted with non-Christians, the way, just everything. I'm just being totally honest. Y'all, this is raw, honest Sarah. Very, very bad at any type of intentional evangelism. And I worked for an evangelistic ministry. So through the awkwardness, there was one mom in particular named Elizabeth, and you'll hear her name a couple of times. I did change her name because she's going to come to know Jesus. But a young mom named Elizabeth, and we started developing a friendship. It moved from meeting every other month to monthly play dates, go strawberry picking. I invited their family over for dinner. My husband took her husband out, also awkward, and just really started developing a relationship. Well, this sweet friend Elizabeth is now one of my dearest friends in Louisville, and I'm now the emergency contact for her kids at school. And what's so crazy about this relationship is that it's changing me more than it's changing her. Because I, through the process of building relationship with her, having spiritual conversations with her, praying for her, inviting her to outreach events, she's come to multiple where the gospel is shared. We're still working on it. And it's been changing me because I've been discovering this is how I engage with her. This is how I meet her where she's at. I view things like sex and drugs and politics totally differently than she does. And that's okay. And I can be comfortable and engaged in that place. Can someone read 1 Corinthians 9:19 through 23?
Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone. So what is the gospel? To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. Though not having the law, I became like not one having the law, though I am free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I become weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings.
Awesome. Can someone read 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15?
For the love of Christ compels us, because we judged us, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again.
Thank you. Well, the best way that I can describe this season of inspiring that I have walked through is it's really like blinders coming off your eyes. And the reality is I can never not see the lost around me anymore, because God has totally changed the way that I view my next door neighbor and the women in my workout group and the women in my play groups. I cannot not see them anymore. There's no way that I can ever not see them. And desperately, we have women that know that there's something inside of them, but there's this inspiring, this transformation process that God does in our lives as we become witnesses of the gospel. And so what I want you to do is turn to someone next to you or to your table and just take a few minutes and just share. What was that unveiling time for you? Was it a moment? Was it a season? What was it that caused you to realize, I have a call as a witness of the gospel? So go ahead, I'll give you a few minutes for that. Awesome. Thank you all for sharing your stories. If you haven't had the time to finish, hopefully you can get a few minutes at the end and finish sharing with each other. But interestingly, both on the team of field directors that I lead, but also with the volunteers that we serve, we often hear a defining season or time when those blinders came off. And now they see lost like they haven't seen him before, and they can't unsee. And that's the most powerful concept that I can think about of it, because it's what I experienced, like those blinders, they just came off. And I think one of the greatest challenges that I know that Doris and I face is, okay, so how do we take an organization of people and help them to go through that inspiring process of my blinders coming off? But I love what you said, Carrie, in your session, that evangelism is caught, not taught. And we have really been in a discovery season at Stonecroft where we've been learning about how do we help women to be inspired as I am an evangelist of the gospel in my community and in my circles. And there's been one resource that's been particularly helpful to us. It's called Breaking the Huddle. It is published by InterVarsity. Doug Schaap is a gentleman that we've really been building relationship with to learn and discover. And then this is really a great personal tool that's published by Stonecroft. It's called Loving Your Neighbor. And this is a great one for women to just pick up and go through on their own. But really, it is caught, not taught. And the greatest thing that we have discovered and read and researched is a lot of that happens in stories. So when I have a friend that just led someone to Christ, I'm inspired by her story. But if I'm starting to hear people leading people to Christ on a regular basis, I'm inspired on a regular basis because I want to be one with a story. And it's not, and it's this just this inspiring process of learning. And those are two great resources that I just want to encourage you with. Well, like many believers, unless you are born with really natural evangelist giftings, which there are many people at this conference that are, but I know that I wasn't natural at all. And what I needed was simple tools to help equip me. I had been through Bible school, evangelism classes, cold turkey, like camps when I was a junior higher where we're using tracks at malls, like all the jazz. And what ended up happening is I built up a lot of this stress and fear around evangelism because it seemed too complicated. I don't have it memorized. I don't know if I'm going to say the right thing. They're not going to like me. And a lot of times we create cycles of fear in the way that we talk about evangelism. And so what I needed was simple tools that could help. And at the same time that God was bringing me through this unveiling, I went through this training called The Story of Now. This one is published by Stonecroft, so you should get the humor of this. I was working for the ministry where I was having the unveiling and trained by the ministry that created a passion for evangelism in me, but that's the honest Sarah truth. And this training was so simple, and it was a game changer because it was the first thing that simplified evangelism for me. I put handouts on your table, and we're not going to go through this training today. I'm going to pass around a sheet. If you or someone you know may be interested in going through this training, I'm going to set one up and send y'all an email. So you can put your name up here. You can pass around if you're interested in going through the training. And I'm just going to focus on one because there's so many out there. But what's really unique about this is it's all about the simplicity of what is God doing in my life right now. So I'm not thinking about my story when I met Christ and the things that have transformed in my life from that point, the sin before, the sin after. For some of us, that's an incredible place to share a story. For some of us, I was 5 years old. I don't remember what I was like before, you know? And so I needed something that could simply make me think about what is God doing in my life right now? And this training goes through reflect, connect, invite. So the first place is, this is just meditation, me spending time in prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit and thinking about what am I struggling with right now? How is God meeting me in that story? And how is that relevant practically for me today? And as believers, we should continually have this relationship with Jesus where we recognize this is where I'm struggling. This is where God's intersecting my story. This is how God is changing my story today. And so that's in the reflect section. The connect is I'm listening. I'm just listening. I'm putting down my phone. I'm listening to the struggles that my friend is going through. I'm building a relationship with her, and I'm asking the Holy Spirit to speak to me as I listen to her. And a lot of times when I'm intentional, I have rarely had a conversation where I have not been able to connect the story of what's happening in my life with the story of what's happening in my friend's life, particularly because my friend Elizabeth is a young mom who works from home, and she has a marriage, and she has challenging children, and so we connect on a lot of things. It's very easy to connect with her, but this is the difference. I have Jesus at work in my story on a daily, ongoing basis, and it is very easy to sit and talk and be like, really, I'm struggling with that too. Yeah, my husband and I just had a fight yesterday about finances. But it's interesting because we prayed about it after and we really got peace about what to do. Simple. A simple conversation where I'm inviting God into it. And then this aspect of invite, where I'm listening to my friend and then I'm saying, can I share with you how God is present in my story? So I'm asking for an invitation to share with her about what God is doing. And then really the training teaches you how do you connect your story, her story, and God's story to lead her into relationship with Jesus Christ and invite her into something. So you could say, the invitation might be, can I tell you more about having a relationship with Jesus? Or maybe she's not there yet. Maybe the invitation is, hey, can I babysit your kids so that you and your husband can go out on a date? And it's an ongoing, continuing relationship. And really what's beautiful about this is the Holy Spirit at work in your life. And that is what is equipping you as an evangelist. And so I loved it because it was just a simple tool. And you will see that you have fill in the blanks. And you will not know what to fill in the blank here. So if you are interested in learning more, and we can even send a video if you can't get on a call training. It's about a 1 hour training. Just put your name here and you can write video. If you don't want to get on a call, we'll send you the information. And we love training and equipping women's ministers, women at churches, small group leaders to train this themselves. That's our favorite. We love to equip church leaders to be able to train and equip women in this tool. Also, in the back of your packet, there is a brand new tool that we just started using called Intentional Faith Conversations, and it just goes through communication skills. Be a good listener. What do you know? That's a great skill. And then asking good questions and some FAQs, simple FAQs. And so this is a brand new tool that we're using with our everyday evangelism groups, which I'll share with you a little bit more soon, but also a great tool that could benefit you as you're looking at this. So she needs to be equipped with simple tools and believe simply, I can do this. I can build relationship with someone that doesn't know the Lord, and I'm gonna be able to do it just fine. And then the third, and I think that this is a super important key ingredient to raising up women that are successful witnesses of the gospel, and that is encircled. Is she engaged in a tribe? Has she found her tribes? And we'll talk a little bit more about tribes, but I want to bring you back to my story about Elizabeth and why being encircled was so important to me, but also as we've been researching and surveying women, they are saying, I need a community of women that are also doing evangelism. It's very important to being successful, but also continuing, not just saying this week I feel bold, but next year I don't feel bold. And it's this community. concept. Well, for me, many months ago, I had a morning when God woke me up at 3 a.m. and I knew that morning it was time to pray for Elizabeth. And so I went into my living room and turned on worship music and just started pacing and just praying and weeping over her and just praying over her and her husband. Her husband leads the Jewish Community Center in Louisville. He is an influencer. And she is a digital influencer as well. And so I'm just praying and weeping over this family, and I'm gonna have coffee with Elizabeth that afternoon. But I knew that I just had to cover the entire coffee time in prayer, and I knew that God might call me to do something bold that day. And at this time, she had already come to evangelistic events and stuff like that. She'd already, we'd had a lot of spiritual conversations. I prayed with her in public many times. And so we met for coffee that day. But what's interesting is before we met for coffee, I texted my team of gals at Stonecroft, who are also one of my tribes that keep me going as an evangelist. And I just said, please pray for me. I am meeting with Elizabeth today. I really need prayer. God's had me up praying for her all morning. And so they sent texted prayers, and one field director in particular, she probably spent an hour that morning just praying for me going into this coffee. Like, I was like blown away. Like, she just kept texting me about prayers and scripture, and it was really powerful. And what was beautiful about it is it bolstered my confidence in this conversation, because I had a tribe of women behind me that were going to love me no matter what. And I sat down for coffee with Elizabeth, and Elizabeth that week had heard that her son was going to need an MRI, and they were concerned about developmental delays, and she was very concerned that it was because she was on epilepsy medication while she was pregnant with him. And so we talked about that a little bit, and that morning, Elizabeth had been researching universalism, and she starts talking to me about the universe and how, you know, I believe in the universe. And I'm sitting there thinking, like, this morning you were researching. Well, we were all praying for you. This morning you were researching that. And the end of that research was coffee with me. And so I'm like, clearly the Lord's hand is on this woman, calling him to herself. And so we talked a little bit more. And in the conversation, I just said, Elizabeth, where are you at with Jesus? And she said, I'm not ready to get on the Jesus train yet. But what was so powerful about that is that she said, yet. And I was like, okay, let's keep going. You know, let's keep going. And what she brought up that day was that she had recently, there was an abortion law that was passed in Alabama. And there was a Christian in her life that posted something on Facebook that really hurt her feelings, because she felt like, I'm not valuable. Like, if this Christian is not valuing these moms that had an abortion, then why would I be valuable? Why would God want me? And so we just talked, and I prayed with her that day, and just prayed for her son, and prayed for peace, and prayed for her to not feel guilty. And we've continued to get together. And so, no, she did not meet Christ that day, but we had some very powerful barriers that we stepped through as friends, but also in prayer. And what was also so essential about my tribe is that when I shared a little bit of what had happened, they were like, well, she said, yes, that's awesome. And they had my back. They knew that it was a lot of work for me to get there, and they knew, and they just encouraged me in the small steps, not just her decision to follow Christ, but the small steps that she's making towards meeting Christ. Well, I believe that Christian women need community. They need tribes. I actually believe that this is all believers. I do not believe that this is specific to women. In order for us to continue having a passion for the gospel, we need communities like NGA so that we are built up, iron sharpens iron, that we continually have people in our life that are inspiring us to be witnesses of the gospel. And what's important about tribes, something really key that I hope that you get here, is that here, this is not just like, ooh, Sarah's got a lot of friends. So that's not what I was, that was not the goal. Because some of these women I really don't know that well. But what's reflected here is that there are some pictures with women that are believers. Like right up here, this is my awesome Stonecroft team at Amplify. And also this is the team that I lead. And so I have godly women that are partnering with me in the ministry of the gospel. And across the nation, we have godly volunteers that are partnering together with us in the ministry of the gospel. That's a really important tribe for us to have. Also, notice digital. We can provide digital community across nations today. And so women that may be far away or may not have Christians where they are can get community digitally. That is also really important culturally, what we have today. And then also reflected here, I have church friends that build me up. I have some that have a passion for the gospel. And then I'm part of a community called Fit for Mom. And Fit for Mom is the one place that I meet the most women that do not know Christ. And my friend Elizabeth is a part of Fit for Mom. That's how I got connected. Well, regularly, I'm able to have conversations with women and get to know them, invite them to coffee, because I'm a part of Fit for Mom. So I also need a tribe of women with people that are not Christians. So I need a tribe with people that do not know the Lord, because otherwise, I don't have opportunity. I have to be finding a tribe outside. And so I think it's important that we have various tribes and that we're encouraging people to find different tribes. In your packet, there is a network map that I think is a really helpful tool in discovering what's my tribe. Where can I find people that don't know the Lord? And how can I connect with them? And so also a great tool that I want to encourage you to use or share. But as we move towards the end of this and we can go into some questions, pretty early actually, I want to share with you a little bit about my tribe, my Fit for Mom tribe. Well, I remember I was in a workout class. I was in a program called Body Back. And in the beginning of every workout, we all share your name and then you answer a question. And the question this day was, when was the last time that you felt like you were enough? Well, one by one, these women started answering this question. And the first woman said, I don't think I've ever felt like I was enough. And the next woman said, probably 4 years ago when my daughter moved away. And then another woman said, it was probably my wedding day. And other women said, I've never felt like I was enough. There was only one woman in that group of 15 that said, I felt like enough yesterday. Only one. And I know for sure that in that circle, there was only one woman that is a believer. And that was another blinders off my eyes moment. When I looked at this room of women that I'm doing workout community with, and I'm realizing these women daily live in a place that they don't feel like they're enough. There's a broken place inside of them. There's a gap that's not being filled. And we know that so well. We talk about it. But when we personalize it to women in our lives, it changes everything. Because I have a group of 15 women that unless I am bold and engage with them, they will not meet Christ. There may be other godly women that will partner with me, but I know that I am one of those women that has to engage intentionally with them. And so that is key for me, is having a tribe of women where evangelism is continually in front of me and I'm encouraged in it. So as we go to the end, I wanted to share with you just a couple of resources that I talked about. But the Breaking the Huddle, The Great Evangelical Recession, incredible book, striking statistics, Loving Your Neighbors, and then The Story of Now. Does anyone have any questions that I can answer or any thoughts? Yes.
How, when you've done this equipping, what are the greatest obstacles? Like what?
Good.
When you're doing the training, what do they say? Oh, this this is what holds me back?
That's a great question, and I'm actually glad you said that, because I'm sure some of y'all might have some questions about organizationally what we're working on. But I would say with our group of volunteers, the ladies that we lead, I would say the biggest thing that we're hearing is I don't have friends that aren't Christian. So they have a passion for the gospel, but actually building that connection. They're putting on evangelistic events. Like, Stonecroft has an 80-year history of evangelistic events that have been very successful. Our heyday, if you want to call it that, was during the Jesus People movement, during the revivals in the 70s, and just thousands of women coming to know the Lord at these lunch groups. You may have heard of them as Christian Women's Club. And really, over the last many years, we have been really working at how do we equip women today as witnesses of the gospel. And that would be the biggest thing, is that women are like, I have a passion, I'm putting on this evangelistic event, I want to do outreach, but I'm having trouble connecting with someone that doesn't know the Lord. And also just the simplicity of, I can sit down, I know how to steer, I know how to be in conversation with her, and I know how to do life with her. So we're very good. I mean, this shouldn't be a surprise. It's Ministry of Women. We're very good at doing. We just do it. We put on the event. We plan the thing. We have the dinner. We cook the cookies. We make the brownies. And so there's a lot of incredible doing. But the hardest thing is connecting with non-Christians so that they come through the doors and hear the gospel. Or feeling equipped myself as an evangelist of the gospel. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Good.
And so this map helps them intentionally think about those places.
Yes, also a great question. We are piloting something called Everyday Witness Groups. It's really been in prayer and development over the past couple of years. Our ends of our ministry have also really transitioned to reflect individual women sharing Jesus and equipping women as evangelists of the gospel versus groups. And so what we have been doing is really trying to figure out, how do we create that encircling? How do we provide, as a ministry, we're trying to figure out, how do we inspire, equip, and encircle women all the way through that process? And how do we be a ministry that does that? And so we are really piloting, we're learning, and the biggest thing that has had success is these everyday witness groups provide accountability and training and prayer. So they're building friendships, they're praying together, they're training together, and they're asking, like, how was your week? Were you able to sit down with this friend that doesn't know the Lord? And I have heard of multiple organizations. In fact, you all heard it this morning, I forgot the name of it. There's multiple organizations that are really starting to see the power in this community of encircling evangelists to increase success and increase community. NGA does that. They encircle evangelists. And so, I don't know if I just answered your question, but that's really what we're piloting, and we're seeing great results. In fact, we've been finding that the percentage rates of people that come to know Christ through Stonecroft events versus personal witness with Stonecroft women or women that have been trained is actually a 15% difference. More successful.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you offer all of this information to churches and to ministry, to women's ministries? You know, because all these women who are believers are in the churches.
Yes.
Doing their little Christian thing. And do you offer the whole package of training and encouragement and this group?
Yeah, that's great.
Like, can I say to my women's ministry director, this would be a great tool for you to start in our... Do you do that?
Great question. Yeah. Something that we're developing. Yes, yeah. We are working. I was just telling Pastor over here. Pastor, what's your first name? John, Pastor John. I was just telling Pastor John that we're really working on church strategy, because truth is, churches are hungry for these kind of tools to be able to equip their women. And we just want to see as many women as possible mobilized, as many women. And so we're really working on that. And one of the places that we're looking at figuring out how to do that is, how can these everyday witness groups be replicated, where a church can be like, I want to do this, and take it. Now, Story of Now is very close to getting packaged, where it can be purchased and used, but for right now, I can train someone to train their women. If you live near a field director, they will also train, but we are training up a lot of women across the country on some of these tools right now as well. Great question. Really great. Yeah.
So I'm here because something that I came out of last year was training Christian yoga.
Yeah, awesome.
From Portland, which you know is very unchurched.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of people who will not go into churches. And so as I was looking at this as a ministry, one was for women who are Christian who just want super spiritual growth. Like I've done a silent Christian yoga retreat. But at the same time, I've had friends who are not Christian. And I said, oh, I do Christian yoga. And like, I come to that. I'm like, oh, what?
Awesome. What a good tribe for you.
For me, it's kind of where I see it as it's the space that they can meet Christ. I want to do, you know, maybe something afterwards, but how do I wrap all this into it? But then the other thing is trying to figure out with everyone being so dispersed, what are the churches I can even send them to afterwards?
Sure.
So not the pastoral care, but
sure.
I can be a person who introduces them to Christ. So.
Sure. That is awesome. Mm-hmm. How sweet. That's very cool. I would love to talk with you a little bit more. And so let me clarify, your question is, how can I disperse women, or what do I do with women that come?
It may be wrapped up in a whole bunch of stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
So it could be like with this, as I'm talking with women who don't know Christ, you know, how can I, maybe it's using these resources, and where does that fit into that?
Yeah.
So then
very good.
These conversations that you're saying with the training.
Yes, very good.
I have no idea. It's all open and new to me.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Excuse me, problem solving right here, but
yes. Mm-hmm.
It seems like you are creating two tribes all
yes.
at once. You're
yes.
creating the tribe of the those who are seeking Christ. You also have a tribe of people who are Christians who probably would like to share Christ.
Yeah.
So you can become that catalyst for that happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Yeah, my first, what I would say do first is connect with me and I'll get you in an everyday witness group. So then you get a tribe, a digital tribe, as soon as we can get you one. And then you'll get to know them. And then that might be something that God just lays on your heart. Like, I want to equip more women to be able to do this, because God's already bringing you a tribe. Like, that's his goodness. He's already said, like, I have something for you. And these women, and that is so popular with right now, yoga. And so they're going to come. They're going to flock. And there's going to be something different about your classes. And they're going to want to keep coming. And so I would say getting you in a tribe of other women that are doing evangelism, when we can do that. We can help you with that. And NGA is perfect for you also to be getting encouraged here as well. Yeah. Great.
Sarah, can you talk a little bit about those everyday witness groups, like
sure.
what happens and
yeah.
what's that experience like if someone wanted to start it?
Yeah, sure. So the first thing they do is they just get together, and it's right now it's running about 6 weeks. We're really in discovery process with what's the best, because at 6 weeks they don't really want to end. They want to keep going, which is awesome. It's a continuing tribe. But at the beginning, they first go through evangelistic prayer. So they talk about friends that don't know the Lord, and they begin to pray with each other. And then they go through the story of now, having spiritual conversations. Some of that they do on their own, and then they come back and they kind of talk about it. And they have homework, sounds funny, but they have assignments that they do after every session, where it's like, okay, so this week, or in the next couple weeks, try and have coffee with a friend that doesn't know the Lord. Simple. They text a friend on the call, and they make plans to sit down and have coffee. And then later, they have a spiritual conversation. So they've already been equipped with Story of Now and intentional faith conversations. Eventually, we'd like to probably bring in some of the five thresholds from Breaking the Huddle. It's an excellent tool. But they're learning together, they're praying together, and they're going through evangelistic prayer, network map, Story of Now, and intentional faith conversations. And so once they come out of that 6 weeks, they really have simple tools to say, I can do this, and I have a community, accountability, and most of the groups are saying, I either want to start more groups, so it's multiplying because they're so excited about it, or they are continuing to meet and just getting together and having gatherings where they talk about four questions, where they talk about How has it been going sharing your faith? What are the challenges? What are the victories? How can we pray for you? And just stay in community with each other, building friendships. So that's what's happening in our everyday witness groups. And in our very first round of pilots, we had three groups, and there was 12 women in these three groups. And over the course of 6 weeks, they had 92 either befriending or faith conversations in 6 weeks, because they were so excited and they were in community and other people were doing it with them, which is so awesome and so powerful. So we're really discovering and really the heartbeat being Inspire, Equip, and Circle. So, yeah.
Is the book Loving Your Neighbors, is that available here at the conference?
It's not. No, we didn't bring any books with us. It's available at stonecroft.org, and if you click bookstore, you can get it. It was written by one of our board of directors. So, and it's kind of, it's a coloring book, and a workbook, so it's fun. Coloring books are in. So, any other questions? Yes.
I'm curious, generationally, I'm having, I think it's a challenge for us right now is to get millennials excited about evangelism. Mm-hmm. And even like that's a good thing to do.
Yes.
And that it's God's good. Call and all of that. They're terrified. I'm mm-hmm. curious, generationally, have you all seen, have you tried it with millennials and Gen Z, and how's that going?
Great question. Well, I'm a millennial, and I resonate with the terrified. You heard that already, and I was working for an evangelist ministry. And so I do resonate with that, I think, because with social media, it's already negative to be a Christian. It's really hard to have confidence. And that's why I really had to go through that inspiring and community, because that's what made me feel confident. I couldn't just sit through a training and be inspired. I had to have other women that are doing it with me. And I had to start hearing stories. But also, God had to grip me with the vision. And I think that that's what we're... And, you know, I will tell you, there has been times in the last 4 years, if we're being honest, that it feels like rolling a boulder up a hill, trying to figure out how do we engage millennials in evangelism. But right now, the everyday witness groups have been the quickest thing that they're responding to, because they love tribes, they love community. And so if they feel like they're engaging in a tribe first, that's a starting place for a lot of them, or inviting them to lead a tribe, because we like to. So, you know, if there's a woman that really has a passion for ministry, but maybe her passion is really discipleship, inviting her into an everyday witness group where it's like that unveiling, but then I can lead something. What's nice about small groups like that is they can easily multiply, and you can raise up a lot of young leaders pretty easily, because I went through a group and now I'm leading a group of 6 women and it multiplies. And that is attractive. With millennials, it is attractive to have places where you can influence and lead. So that's something that I think is why we're having some great success with that. So, yeah.
My job is biblical, setting up biblical training mostly in Africa and the Caribbean.
Awesome.
And I just coordinated, but one of the things that I have struggled with is the one of the worst ways that people learn is through lectures, and so I've been studying a concept that I call how to teach with the adult brain in mind. And so doing, you know, this sort of thing is the best thing. But one of the things that I've noticed that's the hardest thing to do if you're going to do that sort of thing is to come up with good questions.
Yeah.
If you come up with good questions with your neighbor, with a small group that you're teaching, then you will be successful.
That's good.
But it's You know, if you want to come up with good questions, you better spend a lot of time thinking about it and asking the Holy Spirit to lead you, because that's the hardest part of teaching people without lecturing to them.
Yeah, that's great. Great feedback. Really good. Yeah. So, let me time real fast. We're going to get out early. I know you all just hate that. Any other questions?
How many women are not enrolled, but in the Stonecroft program, would you say? What are the numbers?
That is a tricky question.
Okay.
Because as I said earlier, we have about 20,000 volunteers, and then, you know, a larger number that's been trained. But also, as I've shared, we have been highly programmatic as a ministry, very events-based, where we produce outreach events.
Yeah.
And God's really been bringing us in this season of transformation. And what we're doing this year, it's called Rally, but basically we're like training up as many leaders as we can in Story of Now and Evangelistic Prayer, so we can start creating foundation for, like, this is the starting place. It's not the event. The starting place is you. You are the event. And so that I stole that from a field director. That wasn't my line. And so that's really what we've been really working on this year. And what we're praying about with these everyday witness groups is that we figure out a context to hand it to our ladies that plan regular outreach events, where they're also doing it in their teams, where they're continually talking about who's my life, who am I engaging with, where are the things that I'm struggling. So not all of our women are engaged in this yet. So that's why it's a tricky question. Sorry I couldn't answer that for you. Yeah. Anything else? All right, well, let me pray for you, okay? Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you for this group of, I think, 20 individuals. God, I thank you for the ministries that you have called them to. God, I thank you for the places that they have circles of influence, both with non-believers and believers. God, I just pray that you would bless them, refresh them, encourage them, give them fresh vision during this conference. Lord, I pray that you would restore unto them the joy of their salvation and renew a right spirit within each of us, Father. And God, I just pray for blessings. Lord, I pray that you would teach us and equip us how to be leaders, that raise up leaders, that inspire people with being witnesses of the gospel. Lord, I pray for every single ministry that's represented, not just Stonecroft, every single ministry. And Lord, I just pray for your blessing and your provision. Lord, I pray for peace where there might be dissension. Lord, I pray for unity. Lord, I pray for financial provision. Lord, I pray for energy, refreshing, open doors, Father. And God, I just pray that you would bless them today and be with each of us and help us to just hear your voice and speak to us as we go through the rest of this conference. In your name, amen.